Today on the On.NET show, we're going to be talking about how you can observe containerized applications in production using industry tools and patterns. Come check it out. Hey, welcome to another episode of the On.NET show. Today we're going to be talking with Saurabh about application diagnostics with .NET Monitor. Hey, Saurabh, this is like your, third or fourth time on the show.
Yeah, always happy to be back.
Yeah, so I think, today we're going to be talking about somewhat similar things. What's the topic?
So we did a couple, previous episodes on application diagnostics, but sort of we looked at like local machine scenarios, tools that you can run when, you have direct access to the process, but we all know that containers and Kubernetes are the rage now, and understandably so. They simplify your application deployments, give you reproducibility in terms of deployments, but it also makes getting diagnostics a lot more challenging. Everything is more secure by default, permissions are more scoped down, and at the time when something goes wrong, most people don't have the tools in their tool belt to know, what do I use to go get this piece of diagnostic information? How do I get a process dump or not? And a lot of times, the tools that you need to use will be specific to the type of runtime you are using due to the nature of scoped down permissions. So what I'm here to talk about is .NET Monitor. It's a tool that we've been building on the .NET team. And the idea is to now get it out there in front of people and see if it solves your needs in terms of getting diagnostic data when running in containers.
Right. So one of the things I hear you saying is that obviously best practice is to have scoped down permissions, as you say. That's part of making a secure application. But, when you do that, it kind of puts tension on your ability to figure out what went wrong after the fact, because you don't want really anyone to have access to prod resources. And so this system kind of allows you to set up your applications from the start such that they're observable.
I think that's an important thing you mentioned, and I'll just highlight it again. If you think about diagnostics before you deploy, you can make the right considerations. But if you want to diagnose a problem when it occurs, having not deployed the tools ahead of time, then you sort of need guard power and all resources in the world to get to the answer you want.
Right. So this sort of a system allows you to comply. That's not really the right word, but kind of stay in alignment with best practice security practices throughout the application lifecycle, and never have to say I want Rich or Saurabh to have admin god type permissions in this emergency situation, because you're basically saying you shouldn't need to do that.
Right.
Yeah. So zooming out a tiny bit, I've been working in the container space for for approximately 4 years now. And so kind of what I think of as the landscape is for the first few years, or first maybe 2 years, we just published images on Docker Hub and called it a day. It's publish the product as is. And then we kind of moved to hardening the runtime so that it was actually did what people expect. I actually have a blog post on that I posted last year around DockerCon time. And it kind of talks about the choices that we've made to harden the runtime to make it actually a first-class container runtime. And then where I kind of see this moving now on the kind of spectrum of container maturity is making it so that we can do all the things that you just said, which is now we have full observability that aligns with both security practices, but also with other industry tools.
Right. I think, it's not only building the tools, it's becoming container native as a runtime.
Yeah.
And
totally.
So for these tools to work, there has work got, there's work that's gone into the runtime to make it possible to egress this information.
Yeah. So actually, we just shared the blog post I wrote. I think you have one too.
Yep. So this is a blog
post. Do you want to say something about it?
Yeah. This is a blog post I wrote a while ago when we, you know, first came out with .NET Monitor. We're continuing to make improvements, but it's a great overview. It tells you how to acquire the tool, what are the types of diagnostic artifacts you can collect, and, you know, talks you through the various endpoints and how you can actually get the artifacts. So if you want to try it out, like, this is the authoritative guide right now.
Right, and it works today.
Yes.
Okay, how about you show us?
All right, so what I'm going to show you is when you can see my screen. Okay, this is awesome. Oops. So I have a Kubernetes deployment file here, right? So yep. In this, I've authored a service. So there, I'm going to show you certain things of interest, and then we'll come back and revisit things. So I have, in my pod definition, you can see under the container section, there are two containers. There's the server container, and then there's the sidecar container, right? So the server container is what you would traditionally be doing. You would be deploying your ASP.NET application. In this case, I'm just deploying an MCR sample. I didn't want to, you know, bring in application complexity for the sake of this demo. And it's a web application that listens on port 80, standard like you'd expect. Now, alongside the application container, I've deployed the sidecar container. The sidecar container is actually the .NET Monitor tool. It's currently being pulled from MCR. It's the nightly image right now. And the other thing of interest I'll show you is there's this volume mount, which is at the temp directory that is shared between the two containers. And this is sort of the secret sauce needed in .NET Core 3.1 to make this work. So let me show you what's going on.
Can I ask a couple of clarifying questions? One is, could you just spend like maybe 30 seconds explaining how this manifest fits in? Like, you know, how does this different than Docker files, for example? And then the second question is, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about security. Is it secure to basically, like, you've kind of like opened up a hole in your application container and made it so that this other container can have access to it? And what are the security implications of that? And who do you fundamentally have to trust in doing that?
So this is a Kubernetes deployment manifest, right? And what I'm showing you is a pod definition. So a pod is one of the immutable units that Kubernetes gives you, and the guarantee that the scheduler makes is that all containers in a pod will be co-located on the same physical node, and all containers in a pod will have the same network namespace. That means localhost, or like the loopback adapter, spans both these containers, right? So that's the guarantee that Kubernetes is making. If you were to do this with just Docker, like simple Docker containers or Docker Compose, you can do the same thing, but you might not get some of the guarantees that Kubernetes gives you. And for folks who just want to try it on their local machine, don't want Kubernetes, the blog post covers that as well.
Sweet. What about the security part and trust?
So the one thing to, you know, draw attention to, this tool is still an experimental tool. Part of it means we have to go review the, you know, the rigorous security standards that we aspire to at Microsoft. And, you know, we will be coming out with more production guidance, but this is good for preview use now.
Okay.
So what I am doing is I am sharing this temp directory. And while the thing present in the directory that gets shared is actually a Unix domain socket. And the way like Unix domain sockets works on Linux is they use like file names or descriptors that, like, you know, live in the same file system as your files. But that's sort of just a way to identify the file. It actually goes through a Unix domain socket. So there's nothing actually written to disk.
Ah, that helps. That's probably something that people wanted to know.
Right.
Okay. And is it fair to say that this pattern that you just described, that is that considered best practice for this kind of for this domain?
So yeah, so there are usually two patterns that we see. One is called the sidecar pattern, which we're showing you right now, which is you have something deployed alongside your application container. There's another pattern called with a daemon set, which is you will have one instance of your tool running on each physical node in your cluster, right? And we've gone with the sidecar pattern. They're both popular idiomatic patterns when it comes to Kubernetes.
Okay, cool. Let's keep on going.
All right, so now that I have this manifest, I'm going to go ahead and deploy this. I am using a tool called Scaffold, but that's sort of, you know, irrelevant. Okay, so it looks like it has deployed. Let me do kget pods. I've just alias kubectl to k because turns out I type it a lot. So you can see my new pod is now running. So let me do kget service just to make sure my pod is running. Let me get the external IP address for my service. And if I go back over to my browser, okay. So my .NET Core application is running. You know, you see it's simple, running on two cores. It's an ASP.NET Core application running 3.1.5. And, you know, you can thank Rich for this beautiful info page with some information.
I know, I was smiling. It's like, I recognize that.
So now this is obviously great, but let's say I want to collect some more detailed diagnostic information about this process. You know, here comes in the magic of .NET Monitor. So there are a couple of things I'm going to do now. So what I'm going to go over here is I'm going to get the name of this pod, right? So we know the name of the pod, and I'm going to port forward traffic to it, which I've already done here. So I've gone ahead and done kubectl port forward. Oh, sorry, it's this one. Port forward pods/pod name. And I said, hey, port forward port 7000 on my local machine to 52323 inside this pod. So the reason I do this is the diagnostic endpoint is a firehose for all sorts of private and sensitive information. For example, if I get a process like a memory dump, there's a lot of information I can glean about the process that you wouldn't want to expose to the external internet. So it's very important that I, as an administrator of this Kubernetes cluster, am exercising my privileges to port forward traffic into a secure port that wasn't otherwise exposed. Right? So this is helping us with the ad hoc diagnostic scenario when, hey, I know something went wrong, so I'm going to like get on the machine and investigate what went wrong. Right? So with that, now that I've forwarded traffic, I'm going to show you some of the functionality exposed by it. So if I go over to localhost 7000 and I hit the processes endpoint. Oh, sorry. It looks like something. Do I have the right pod name? Oops. Looks like I redeployed and I forgot to update this. Everything here was wrong. So no worries. Let's use the same port number. Okay. Now that this is running, let's go back and hit this. Okay, perfect. So you see I get this array of processes. You'll see that the process could be identified with either a PID or a UID.
Can you zoom a little bit there?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
The process could have been identified by either a process or what we call the runtime cookie. And this is sort of more prevalent in 5.0. But for this case, we see that there's a process with PID 1. And one of the nice things about .NET Monitor is since it's primarily intended for this container deployment, when it detects only one process ID, all other diagnostic operations don't require you to explicitly specify which process you're acting on. So that sort of makes our life convenient. So now what I can go ahead and do is I can go ahead and let me hit the process endpoint to collect a dump. I can go and hit the .NET Monitor endpoint /dump. And this might take a second, but this actually has sent a request to the runtime asking it to create a process dump of itself. So this might take a second where it is creating a process dump and it will stream it back. So this dump isn't saved anywhere. You sort of receive it right now. Since that this might take a second, I will show you another diagnostic operation I can perform. I'm just going to go
ahead. It almost feels like a an internet connected tool that you can run via the browser? Or it doesn't have to be the browser. I know that.
Yes. So it
seems like very powerful.
It's definitely, the idea is, and you know, we speak to a lot of people, and there's this concept of using operators in Kubernetes, right? An operator could be a human sitting at their computer running through a playbook when something goes wrong, or the operator could be an SDK or some, you know, non-sentient being that knows how to respond to diagnostic information. So because we expose the REST API that makes it easy to program against, you could write an operator that says, hey, if my CPU utilization is above 90% for 30 seconds, go collect a process dump for me.
Right.
And that's sort of the scenarios that we want to enable.
I see. So this a little bit goes back to where we started, which is, you know, I think we were talking more about these really, really bad situations. But you're basically saying you could completely integrate .NET Monitor into your everyday system. It might actually be used every day to collect information. It doesn't have to be like this, you know, once in 6 months, once in 18 months event.
Absolutely. And I think, though today I can only showcase the ad hoc diagnostics, literally the next feature in our pipeline is triggering. And what we're going to do is add the ability to collect these diagnostic artifacts on the presence of either a counter or an event. We're going to have the notion of triggering. And then you can see while we were waiting, this file actually downloaded. Now this is a, you know, an ELF style Linux core dump, but just, I want to just mention some of the work that we've been doing in the runtime and the Visual Studio team. You can now open Linux style ELF dumps on Windows in Visual Studio and get all the, you know, diagnostic tooling that you're used to with process dumps.
Nice.
So just a couple more endpoints I can show you. We have a trace endpoint. And when I do not specify any parameters, this is a CPU trace. So I can sort of go make some requests. This, I think the default is a CPU trace for about 30 seconds. So this will continue tracing the process. We have a...
I see. So it's like streaming and downloading while you're still hitting the site. And
right. So,
wow.
And you can already see that, you know, you see the Visual Studio icon there. Let's just wait for this 30 seconds to elapse, and then I can go ahead, open it in Visual Studio and show you what's going on. But while this operation is going on, let me show you a couple more endpoints that are exposed. We have, this one is sort of my favorite. It's the logs endpoint, right? What this gives you is access to streaming logs. So it's sort of hard to see right now, but if I do this, you see this? I'm getting streaming logs, and the cool thing I'm able to do is I'm able to turn up the verbosity to way higher than I would in my to my persistent log store. So if I want to like ad hoc diagnose something, I'm like, let me connect, you know, turn up the log level, and I can see logs being streamed out from this. So you can see all sorts of, you know, debug level logs. You can obviously provide a query string parameter to filter the log level, but right now I'm basically drinking from the fire hose, and you can see I'm just getting streaming logs out here.
Right. So someone could set up this system where they might aggregate these logs from several different nodes or pods, whatever the right word is, and then have like a single pane of glass type of experience where they only see like the highest, if that's what they want, the highest severity issues, just to kind of get a sense of how their, you know, fleet of web servers are performing.
Absolutely, yeah.
Very nice. Is there any kind of last thing you want to show us before we close out?
Yeah, so the one other thing I want to show you about is there's another endpoint, GC dump. I'm going to skip over that. It's another diagnostic artifact that's a, you know, representation of the object graph that you can, you know, analyze memory problems with. We have another endpoint, which is the metrics endpoint. And this one I'm sort of, you know, super excited about. So if this format seems alien to you, let me just make it a little bigger. Sorry. This is the Prometheus style exposition format. So you'll see that there's, you know, in the comment, it tells you that the type of metric is a gauge. And then it says, hey, these are the last three values of this metric. And what you can do is you can use something like Prometheus or Azure Monitor to scrape these metrics to automatically collect your metrics. So this is an endpoint exposed by .NET Monitor that can be scraped by other tools. And real quickly, I want to show you, if I hop back over into my deployment manifesto. Now, this is something I skipped over. I did tell you, hey, do not expose the URL that .NET Monitor listens on because it can expose sensitive information, right? However, scraping of metrics via HTTP endpoint is actually a pretty common pattern, and metrics do not contain sensitive information like a process dump might. Understood. So what you can see here I've done is I haven't exposed the URL. You see, I have two arguments here, right? I have the URLs are 52323, and then I have something called specifically metrics URL. So this endpoint exposed by metrics URL is actually safe to expose in the context of your container. So now, internally, other services can hit this. And you know, the reason this is so interesting is if I were using Prometheus or Azure Monitor, they actually use this notion of adding annotations to your pod. So I just added this annotation. I didn't have to do anything else here to get metrics. I added in .NET Monitor, exposed it on a port, and then I told .NET Monitor, I told Azure Monitor, that, hey, I exposed Prometheus endpoints, so please scrape them. And the port on which I exposed them is 52325. And I haven't mentioned it, but the default path is /metrics. So now Azure Monitor knows how to collect this. I had to make one more change. So Azure Monitor doesn't have this on by default, but this is something supported. Anyone can do it, but you just have to go into your Azure Monitor settings and say monitor Kubernetes pods to true. All right, and once you do that, I can show you that if I hop over into my Azure portal, you will see that, let me run this. I had just, I'm just looking at, say, my allocation rate chart. I have these metrics in Azure Monitor. This was, no SDK, none of that stuff. I just said, hey, monitor me. And I gave those couple of annotations and I get this, beautiful stuff in Azure Monitor. And you're not restricted to Azure Monitor. I'm showing you this because I have familiarity with this. But if you were running your own, Prometheus deployment or you were running FluentBit, you would still get the same benefits.
Right. So I think this speaks to the cloud native part that, again, we started with, which is we are shaping the product so that it kind of aligns with the way other products work with industry expectations, no extra goo required. And then things like this can just work both in Azure Monitor and other places.
Yeah. And I mentioned this earlier, this tool was, experimental and we, hope to be in preview soon. I'm going to publish a roadmap on what this is going to look like, but we're, we love to get feedback. We want to know what people are doing, what they're, we understand everyone's deployment looks different. So please try it out and let us know if this works for you.
Awesome. Well, I, as you know, I'm like super passionate about this. Yeah. I think it's amazing that our container offering is for, .NET is kind of really shaping up pretty nicely at this point. I'm sure there's tons that we're going to still do. I think this is pretty good now. Well, thanks for being on the show again, Saurabh.
Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Okay, well, this has been another episode of On.NET, and thanks for watching.